Welcome, everybody. Thanks for listening to the FT After Hours podcast. We just got to say, you know, we're so thankful that you guys are out there supporting us and helping us out, and we're trying to keep this thing going. So as long as you're out there, we're going to try to keep this thing going and get bigger and better as we go. But anyway, in studio today, I got with me Wayne Griffith.
Hey, guys.
And Mike Coolins.
Hello, everyone.
And I haven't seen you guys for quite a while.
It feels good
to be back in the studio and hanging out with you guys and, you know, sit down and chat a little bit. And
I was looking forward
to it, actually. It's been a while. Nice. You know, I guess first out, and I know everybody down south and maybe, you know, out west are tired of us northerners talking about this, but the weather around here has just been so bad. And it's funny, I don't know, I've probably talked about it before. Some days I feel like a weatherman. Mm-hmm. You know, I have like 7 weather apps on my phone. You know, I check them daily, sometimes hourly. We're always looking for that slight little break, you know, that we can get out. And funny story, I don't know if I've ever told it on the podcast, is I had an older phone and had some problems, and I went in to have it looked at, you know. And the guy went in, fixed it, and he comes back, and he goes, I got to ask, are you some kind of meteorologist or anything? I go, oh, no, why would you give me? He goes, I've never seen so many weather apps on a phone before.
You explain you work outdoors a lot.
Well, you know, that too. And, you know, with the RC flying.
You want to check things out
and,
as well.
And I have a weather station at my house, you know, that with the wind and everything. And Wayne and I were always back and forth.
We work on weather stations where I work.
Oh, so, do you really?
Yeah. Anyway.
So it's just, you know, it's just kind of crazy, the weather. And even like Sunday, we just happened to have another snowstorm, and usually, you know, I'm pretty up for, we got some weather and some snow, let's get out there, you know, and I did that from the previous one we had, but man, when
eight
it started,
inches. Yeah, roughly 7-8 inches.
When we got that other one Sunday, I was like, I really just don't want to go out. I ended up earlier, went out and got the snow blower, and, you know, after that,
yeah, we get
like,
out of the deep freeze, it warms up, yeah, and then we get the 7 inches of snow or whatever.
Right,
it is.
Right. So I don't know.
I'm just looking forward for the time change this weekend, because that gives us an extra hour of daylight.
Yeah, but we lose an hour of sleep. It's my wife's most detested day.
Yeah, I don't care about that.
The year, because she likes
the daylight.
Yep, me too.
The spring ahead an hour.
Also, real quick, I just got to give a shout out for everybody that's following the FT After Hours on Twitter and on Instagram. We're still growing a little bit, and I have fun with that. And I don't know. I just try to do what I can do, and hopefully down the road we're going to make that a little bit better and step it up a little bit. But I have to throw this out here, because he's been on my butt a little bit, for just a little shout out to my son Aiden, who I do drag out in the snow and in the weather. And a lot of the videos see on there is my 10-year-old son with my iPhone and me yelling at him, going, no, wrong angle, no, go over there, no, that's, you know. And
poor kid.
The one Instagram little video I put on there, is going through the comments, and it was just kind of funny. Nothing against Alex or anything, but one of them was like, man, I can't believe that you almost hit Alex with that plane, you know. And my poor son, he's like, that's not Alex. That was me, Dad. You got to give me a little credit, you know. So I just wanted to throw that out there.
He's a very cute kid.
Yeah. He does pretty good. And it's kind of funny. It's actually, you know, at first I really had to bribe him. Like, well, you know, I'll give you $5 or, you know. Now he's more into it himself a little bit. Like, he wants to start doing his own little videos and stuff like that. So it's kind of funny. The other thing, a couple weeks ago, I finally made it over to Pat's house. I know we haven't had him on the podcast much, and he's been pretty busy. And I promised him, I said, we got to get you back on.
Yeah,
you
I've
know?
Been eager to see him and speak with him, too.
So we'll get him back on. But he's been bugging me, too. He's wanted to check out the Nano Quad. Mm-hmm. And then he really didn't know about the Nano FPV.
Oh.
So I took both of them over, and we went down the basement, and first I pulled out the Nano, and, you know, he was checking all out and was flying around, and he said, oh, man, this is just fantastic, you know, which most people do. They can't believe it's that small, flies that well. And I said, well, if you like that, then you're going to love this. So I pulled out the FPV and was showing him, and, you know, I had the goggles and the HK goggles, so we both could go. And we flew around down the basement a little bit. Now, Pat has a huge – I'm not huge house. I mean, it's big.
It doesn't surprise.
Yeah, it's big. Let's just say that. So we were cranking around down in the basement a little bit, and he says, "Well, what do you think? Do you think we could get up on the second level and get into the kitchen and living room?" And I'm like, "Yeah, I think we could do it." So we went up, and he's got two daughters, and the one littler daughter, she was just amazing. You know, she's running around, chasing around. So we went around through the second level, and he goes, "Well, let's go upstairs." I'm like, I don't think we're going to go that far. I really don't. So we try. I said, "Well, what's the worst going to happen? If I lose signal, we'll just shut it down." Round the corner I went, up the stairs I went, in a couple of the bedrooms, all the way down the hall at the very end of the house, and made it into his daughter's bedroom before we actually started losing signal. Wow. I couldn't believe we went that far.
I said that I was in my basement and went up two levels to the third floor.
Yeah,
I could do it. And I was like, wow, that impressed me.
I was
going through all the flooring.
Really impressed with the range inside
and
that house.
And his house
is
huge. So,
yeah.
I mean, mine's not huge, but I do have the three levels.
Yeah. So I just handed it over to him with about 10 batteries. And I said, have at it. Man, I'm telling you what, we burned through everything I had. Yeah. You know, like he had a ball. He absolutely loved it. Couldn't believe how, you know, easy it flew and flying FPV for the first time. So
I forgot, Eric Monroe was here with us last time.
Oh,
I gave him a battery, not even thinking about the charger. Well, luckily he found a charger, and I was like, you know, I thought I had them all set, and I'm like, duh, he needs the USB charger.
And
luckily, I hope he got to fly it.
He did, and he found out real quick, just like we said. And I told him, I said, if you do get that, you have got to at least get like 6-8 batteries.
Yes, and I had bought a 4-pack more as soon as I loaned him that one.
Right.
So it's not a big deal if I get it back. I wanted him to have the experience and everything.
Right. And I did see him, and he mentioned, he goes, oh, I got Mike's battery.
It's not a big deal. Yeah. Like I said, I already bought a pack of them. However, I did put it through some paces, and I ended up breaking the frame on mine.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I ended up RTVing the one arm. I filled the little hollow tube where the wire runs with some RTV.
Yep.
And it seems to be fine now, but I did wreck the frame, which was like, oh, man.
Yeah.
And I think some of my motors might be going out, and I bought 4 new motors. Unfortunately, they were out of stock, where you had mentioned I had to buy the original motors from another site. But I'll have it going good. I mean, it's running now, but it's not as smooth. I think the one motor might be eventually going out, and I'll repair it when it's completely dead.
Yeah. Still having fun with it, though.
Yeah.
Hey, the other thing, too, I wanted to get your opinion on this, Wayne. We went to a swap meet, a couple weeks ago, which I don't know why they would have a swap meet on Valentine's Day, but they did.
Wanted to go.
Yeah, so we went anyway, and I've been to quite a few swap meets around the area, and a lot of the ones you see the same guy. Not only the same, like, people bringing stuff in, selling, a lot of times you see the same buyers coming in, too. But anyway, I'd say probably 3 years, I don't see, and I'm throwing this out there because I'd like, you know, everybody listening, I kind of want their opinion too on this, but I don't see a lot of the newer, like, foam electric stuff at these swap meets. A lot of the stuff I'm seeing are the bigger balsa stuff, the older stuff, tons and tons of nitro motors. I mean, cheap, you know, and I think basically that boils down, you know, to fuel cost. And I had a guy next to me who had two beautiful big Warbirds, and one of them was the older Hangar 9 F4U Corsair. They both had retracts. They both had motors ready to go. The guy said, I just had the one fired up like a couple days ago. He couldn't get rid of them. He literally just at the end of the meet, he was selling both of them a pair for $400. And he never sold them.
And the value is substantially higher.
Oh, I would think so. Just, I mean, you know, motor alone, you know, when retracts and everything, not, you know, let alone
the planes. I've never messed in that element, but I know it's more expensive.
Yeah.
I didn't know.
Did you kind of notice that, Wayne? Mm-hmm. That, you know.
Did you happen to sell any of your item?
I
thought you said you took some stuff.
Everything but one item.
Oh, my God. I should have went because I wanted to sell things.
Oh, I told you, Mike. I told you. Should have just showed up.
Dang it.
Threw it on the table. Yeah,
because I need to make more room in the base for other things I would like to. Plus, it'll enable me to get with the wife and say, okay, I sold these. I can buy this.
Right,
I got to go those routes at this point.
Yeah, for me, it's probably about every about 2 years, I start cleaning house. Like, I look and I go, well, I haven't flown that in a year. Am I going to fly it in the next 6-8 months? Eh, probably not.
Now, when you sell them, are they pretty much fly ready? Or not, is there some things that they buy just like you don't know a whole bunch if it would fire up or not?
Most of my stuff that I take is ready to go minus receiver. You throw a receiver and a battery in it and it's good to go.
I think mine would be the same boat.
So,
and I might even throw in the receivers because I got tons of I'd just leave them in there probably.
Yeah,
but
yeah. It was
the interest is there on these types that.
Yeah.
How many did you end up selling then? Because you said everything but one.
How many things did you think I have there? 10, 12?
At least,
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everything went. Now, I'd say I did, like, there was a. I sold some stuff, and then it would just ran, like, dry, and I thought, oh, man, I'm going home with an armful. And there, probably in the last hour, everything just went,
right now.
So, but I was just curious, you know, if any of the other guys in the swap meets around.
Sounds like a good one to go to. If everything's nitro, then you're, like, the only thing that isn't. So it makes it an easier sell for you then if they're looking for something different or to meddle with.
Right, and that's what happened a couple years ago, too. I was the only one there with these big, giant foam warbirds that were all weathered out, you know, detailed and weathered out.
But the price level's low, so they're just going to probably buy them compared to the other things, you know.
Yeah, but, I mean, if you want a nitro motor, you know, 10, 20 bucks, easy, all day long.
I've never messed with that stuff.
Yeah. See, and if you're just getting into the hobby, it's a whole lot easier to slap a battery in it and go, as opposed to trying to mess with the motor and get it tuned and get it right, and then heaven forbid you stall the thing, because once you stall, you're done, you know. So
So it was rather entertaining.
How large was the event? Would you guess how many people? And was it a large building?
Actually, it
the size of a gymnasium.
Yeah, it was it was a church gymnasium. But I will say that. Actual event has grown. When I first started, it was in a small, like, VFW, and we were packed in there, and it was pretty small.
Was this in Wadsworth or
Worcester?
Okay.
Yeah, they have that one. There's also another real big one, usually out in Ravenna, and they do some various ones around. So yeah, it was just kind of interesting.
I'm looking forward to Weak Signals next month.
Yes, me too. So absolutely. Nice. Yes. Another couple real quick things, and then I have just a couple crash stories we're going to get into that were rather interesting. I have to say thank you. I mean, I have a ton of them, and they're banked and ready to go, but we have so much stuff to talk about, so I want to throw a couple out there that I thought were really good. But before that, a couple things, Wayne. Did you happen to read through the new FAA rules that they proposed for the of course, they call them drones? Did you go through that?
A little bit?
Let me see if I can find them real quick. I was reading through them. Did you see them, Mike, and read through them? I kind of agree with it. I thought it was a pretty good proposal. So let me see if I can find these real quick, and I'll pull them up. Here we go. Okay. And this is right from the FAA, and I'll try to read through these pretty quick, but generally this is for, like, if you wanted to go out and, you know, make money doing this. First of all, they put it in operational limitations. And I'll try to run through these real quick. First one, it has to be less than 55 pounds, visual line of sight. All times, small unmanned aircraft must remain close enough to the operator for the operator to become capable of seeing the aircraft with vision, unaided by any device other than corrective lenses. Small unmanned aircraft may not operate over any persons not directly involved in the operation. Daylight operations only. Must yield to the right-of-way of other aircraft, manned or unmanned. May use a visual observer, but not required. First-person view camera cannot satisfy see and avoid requirements, but can be used as long as the requirement is satisfied in other ways. Maximum speed, 100 miles an hour. Maximum altitude, 500 feet above ground level. Minimum visibility, 3 miles from control station. No operations are allowed in Class A, 18,000 feet or above airspace. Operations Class B, C, D, E airspace are allowed with the requirement of ATC permissions. Operations in Class G airspace are allowed without ATC permissions. Persons may act as an operator or VO for more than one unmanned aircraft operation at one time. No careless or reckless operation requires pre-flight inspection by the operator. A person may not operate a small unmanned aircraft if he or she knows or has reason to know of any physical or mental condition that would interfere with a safe operation of a small UAS. Proposes a micro UAS option that would allow operators in Class G airspace over people not involved in the operations, provided the operator certifies he or she has the aeronautical knowledge to perform the operation. Now, real quick, the operator certificate for, operator certification and responsibilities. Pilots of small UAS would be considered operators. Operators would be required to pass an initial aeronautical knowledge test that the FAA approved at a testing center, be vetted by the Transportation Safety Administration. And let's see, a couple of the other, here's some more. Obtain an unmanned aircraft operator certificate with a small UAS rating, like existing pilot airman certificates, and would never expire. Then you would have to pass a recurrent aeronautical knowledge test every 24 months. You must be at least 17 years old. Make available to the FAA upon request a small UAS for inspection or testing and any associated documents, records required to be kept under the proposed rule. Report an accident to the FAA within 10 days resulting in injury or property damage. Conduct a pre-flight inspection to include specific aircraft and control station checks and ensure a small UAS is safe for operations. That's basically it for the operators. They do go into more detail as far as the aircraft requirements.
This is a proposal.
This is the proposal that they're looking at. But I don't think it's that bad. I think it's
I'm a little confused as far as knowing your altitude and distance away without because I fly a lot of things without telemetry or
and honestly
OSD display stuff.
Here's the thing. I don't think too many.
This is commercial too.
Yeah. Correct? Too many people aren't flying things too much bigger than, say, like the Inspire. But, you know, you get much above 500 feet, you can't see them anyway. You know, that's my opinion of them. Wouldn't you agree, Wayne?
Yep.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, anyway, I thought they were pretty good, and we'll see where it goes from there. At least now we have something to look at, or we might know something that's going to head down the road. I just
wonder how, you know, and the testing and certification or whatever, how complicated are they going to make that? You know, that's the only thing. It just kind of, well, and also you have to recertify every 2 years. It's like, like I said, they can get.
Yeah, I think.
And what's the cost of that?
Good question. I don't think it would be too much, but I think in a way, and I kind of agree a little bit with them, it's going to weed out the people that are just like, hey, I have a drone. I can, you know what I mean?
They're still going to do it.
Well, they're going to do it. Yeah. I agree.
Like this goofball down there in Florida that puts his quad through somebody's house window.
Oh, I didn't hear about that one.
Oh, yeah. And some guy heard some crash, and he went in there, and here's this quad sitting.
Oh, no kidding. Yeah,
came right through his, forget if it was a bedroom window or something. Of course, at the time when I was reading the story, nobody claimed it. So they do have a video. The video on it has, you know, but the guy was, it was too far above the guy, so they couldn't ID who it was.
Really?
But see, that's the stuff that makes it bad for the rest of
right,
us.
Right, you know? Right, right. And, and you're
going to do that.
And yeah, you're always going to have that too.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, I just wanted to throw those out there. You guys can go on the website, look at them, check them, read them over, and, you know, give us your thoughts on it. See, you know, what you like, what you don't like. All right. Hey, let's move on and let's have a little fun. Let's get into a few crash stories here. But first of all, I don't know if I forwarded this email. I think I did, but I wanted to get you two wanted to get your opinion on it because I did email back and forth with this gentleman, but his name was Zoran Veskovsky, I believe. But anyway, what he wanted to know is
from Sweden,
yeah,
about the T-28.
Yes, he was up in the air. He said he can get a Park Zone T-28 relatively cheap, or, you know, should he spend the money and go with the Artisan?
Well, he was worried about
the Artisan. I'm sorry,
because of the parts being available, I know, with the one that possibly is discontinued.
But he also was asking me, I think it was in the email there, that he wants something to step up and go to ailerons, but he didn't want a high wing trainer. Like, because the first thing that popped in my, go for the apprentice.
Right.
But he said, I don't want a high wing trainer. I kind of want something low wing, you know. So I threw out there, obviously, I thought the Artisan was a little bit better flying, and it did have the AS3X in it. I thought that helped out. Also threw in there, if you wanted something, was the new Hobby Zone Corsair. Because he wanted the safe. He wanted the safe with the panic button. And I know that Corsair flies unbelievably. He could do aerobatics and rolls and loops and everything. And the other one I threw out there, and he didn't get into detail, you know, if he's got a computer radio and he knows how to work it a little bit, my honest opinion was, as I said, if you can wait for it and have the money, is wait and try out the Night Vision Air. Mm-hmm. He talked a little bit about the Sukhoi, but obviously he realized that thing's going to be a little bit too much.
Yeah. And we were talking about that one too just recently, and so it's a little bit slower maybe.
Here's something that, is a little bit slower, but if you have a computer radio, you could literally dial those rates way down on that thing. Yeah. It would fly just like the – probably slower than the Artisan would in all actuality. And then as he progressed, you know, if he wanted to get a little bit more, you know, more aerobatics or maybe even get into 3D, he's got the airplane. Mm-hmm. Everything's right there, plus you still have the safe.
Yeah, configuring the plane for your ability, too, is very key.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Right, right. You know, with the low rates, high rates, something like
and
that.
I think it was him that was... Was it him that struggled with the trims and stuff at first, or was that a different crash story? I can't remember.
No, I don't think, because he's been flying a
Bixler. That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but anyway, he emailed me back and said he went for the T-28, so that's what he's going to go for. But
now, is that one truly discontinued then, and how's he going to get it?
It hasn't. No, I've never officially heard that it's going to be discontinued. I mean, the plane's been around for...
Well, that's what
know,
I thought when I
flew
years. You're like, yeah, I thought it was discontinued at that
not
point.
Not officially,
either.
And it's not on the discontinued list, but I just have this funny feeling down the road it's eventually. They might even be waiting to see how good the Artisan is or how it's selling or something like that. Because the thing was, the T-28 is just.
I honestly think
seller.
That would be a great one for him if he doesn't have to worry about parts not being available personally. Mm-hmm. And then the next one would be we haven't flown it yet, but the Vision Air or whatever. That would be my second option.
Yeah.
I wasn't a huge fan of the Artisan, but it was my fault. it did fly okay. I was just pushing my abilities with it, unfortunately.
I mean, what do you think, though? Do you think the Night Vision Air would be an option for him if you dialed it down? Would that be something if you were kind of getting in
there? That's honestly what I want, but I don't know. I got to keep in mind the ability level, too. So.
Yeah, and it's kind of hard for me to throw my support for it since I haven't flown it yet.
That's just it.
All right. Moving on here. I got another one crash story. It's really good, and it involves a tricopter, and it's an FPV crash. Let's see. I guess I should introduce myself and explain that I'm a little overconfident. I just finished a David Vindenstoll RC Explorer tricopter, and it was my first serious FPV build. I had a little FPV experience with a Nano QX FPV copter and thought I would take it to full scale. Back to my overconfidence. My first flight with the RC Explorer tricopter was line of sight. I have 25 plus years of flying line of sight over Baltimore Harbor. Collected about 10 minutes of video. Oh, I collected 10 minutes of video over water, no issues. Got it back, looked at the video, and I was hooked. I wanted better video. To do this, I was going to need FPV. I went to the local park that was huge to practice FPV with a copter. My first hint that I should have had a spotter was the first time I put the goggles on, they broke up a bit. I took off the goggles and couldn't find the copter anywhere. And, you know, and that's quite a common problem, you know, for first-time FPVers. Mm-hmm. You think you know where you're at, and then you pull those goggles off, you're lost. And we've seen that, you know, around here hundreds of times. Well, it safely landed 100 yards in front of me, and I should have stopped right then. I knew I should have had a spotter, but I thought, I have years of flying experience. I can do this. So I decided to fly back and try it again. I got it up and was getting some beautiful video, and then it started to break up. I knew about where I was, and I had about a 90% chance to get it back to me, but I was getting a little close to the road, so I decided to ditch the copter instead of potentially put anybody to the risk. It crashed in the thickest part of the woods with pricker bushes out the wazoo, he says. I spent 3 hours walking through the prickers looking for it, but alas, it was gone. I decided to look at the video and the GPS data from my Dominator V2 to figure out where I was. I had the SD card in, but I forgot to hit record. Lessons here. Know your equipment. Have a spotter. Always be safe. I would ditch an $800 investment any day rather than chancing anyone's safety. But I only got 5 flights out of the tricopter, and now it was gone. Thankfully, I got awesome video from the 4 flights. Oh, I feel bad. Oh, and whoever finds it will have great video on the SD card that was in it. I just ordered another tricopter and we'll begin building again.
Sounds like he's going right down the path I did. And that as far as losing the investment and then rebuild another one. Yeah.
Well, the encouraging part is he's not giving up. He's going right back at it again. Okay.
And it sounds like quicker than I did because I waited a while. He's getting back on the saddle.
And it's the same old thing we've talked about 100 times. And it is hard to do, you know, when you start learning the FPV and you get up, first thing you want to do is just go crank around. You're like, this is great. And luckily for me and you, Wayne, and probably Mike, you know, being around the flight test guys and especially they were getting into it in the early beginnings, we seen the problems they had and things that happened and no, you can't, you know.
Things look really different up there too, so you really better know your luckily we had the racetrack at Chad's house. Yes. So that was always you find the racetrack, you knew where you're at.
Right.
But I tell you what, you get out anywhere else, if you do not know what that area looks like from the sky, you can lose orientation in a hurry.
And there's so many times where, you know, you're at your favorite flying spot and you know you can go 300 yards down and then you go somewhere else. You might only get 100 yards and lose video signal. And now you're in an unfamiliar area. Mm-hmm. So I feel bad for him. You know, lessons learned. And I think he realized it. But
I like the fact that he didn't push it. Like he said, instead of injuring somebody, it was like, you know what? This isn't worth it. And just set it down, you know.
So right.
That was at least he's using his head on that part.
So, Robert, we feel for you, buddy, I'm glad.
Definitely.
Glad you're getting back in it. I'm sure Mike can really feel for you on that.
I really did. When I read that story, I was like, oh, my gosh. Yeah.
All right. We got another couple stories by a gentleman, Sean Regan. But after reading them and talking with you guys, we thought this story was just, you know, almost crazy kind of sounding. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to give Sean a call, and we're going to let him explain it to us and get
his take on it.
Yes. Yeah. So let's give him a call here real quick, and Sean can fill us in. The story was just, I mean, unbelievable.
Yeah, it was a good one.
He should answer. Even the icing of the little Nano that he sent me. I don't know if I sent you that one, but he sent pictures of. Yeah, he was out flying the little Nano, and it was Sean.
Hey.
Hey, how you doing? It's Chris
and Mike.
Good. How are you?
And I got Wayne and Mike in studio with us.
Hey guys.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. Let's start off real quick. You sent me it was an email a while back about the little Nano quad you were flying, I believe, outside your house, and you got it iced up pretty good.
Yeah, that was, I think that was last Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know, the email, I'll check my email, but we were off of school because it was snowing, and my living room was crowded, so I didn't want to fly in there learning in agility, so I took it outside, and after about 2 minutes, the battery, I figured it started to die because nothing was happening real quick, and it was kind of sluggish. So I brought it back closer to myself, and I like to catch it by the landing gear leg. And I started looking at it, and I noticed the motors were real big. And that didn't make sense because motors don't puff up like batteries do. So I caught it, and I started looking at it, and the props stopped, and I noticed the props were all iced up, and there was ice all over my motors. So I started fumbling for my camera to get some pictures of it, and by the time I got that out of all the layers I was wearing to keep warm, the ice on the props was all gone, and the motor ice had started to melt.
Yeah.
But I got some pretty blurry pics of it, but yeah.
Yeah, I was really amazed at that, and you probably noticed right away it was probably flying a little funky too, huh?
Yeah, I was having a real hard time keeping control, and it was real hard. I was using full throttle to hover it when I got it back up.
Oh, my gosh.
It was really not flying real well at all.
Yeah. Now, looking at the pictures, I think you said, too, in the email, it was around 20 degrees, but I noticed it was really foggy, like, it was really thick.
Oh, yeah. It was pretty foggy. The clouds were real low down to us, and it was snowing pretty hard. Not like when you were talking about flying the Beavers and you could barely see them, but it was... For North Carolina, it was snowing pretty hard.
Yeah. So I just, you know, that's fascinating. Anything you can get iced up, I don't know. I find it fascinating in the RC. And
yeah, it was pretty cool. And I don't understand, though, why the motor's iced up, because usually that's the warmest part on the quad. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is pretty strange. I know I've seen some pictures and videos of other quads where they've come down, landed, and they've had ice on the props. But, yeah, on the motors like that, it just had it to be the perfect.
It must have been cooling the air from the rotation. That or could something. Be. The only thing I can think
yeah.
of. Cooled it down enough.
So, hey, a couple other quick questions. You're down from around Raleigh, correct?
Yeah, we're my dad lives in Raleigh, and my mom lives just a little bit south, that's where I am right now.
Now, and your dad has a champ, I believe?
Ronca Chief.
So oh, a Ronca Chief.
Side-by-side champ, yeah.
Okay, now, do you guys do some local flying around that area?
That's actually up in New York.
He keeps it up there.
Yeah, we're working on getting it back down here because he's got his own airstrip where we do all of our model flying at, and he built an Avid Flyer back in the, I forget when he first flew it. It was like late 80s, early 90s. And that was on his airstrip for a long time.
Oh, but it actually okay. got rolled
over in a thunderstorm tied down on the ground.
Really?
So we're rebuilding it.
Wow. I was just curious because I did a lot of flying around your area, and there was a little dinky airport just over the border there in Virginia called Persons County. And we used to fly down there and get in a car, and there was a breakfast place down there that I haven't been able to duplicate it anywhere yet. So I was just wondering if you were familiar with the area.
I've heard of it. I don't think I've ever been up there. The only flying I've really done down here is just bumming rides with people.
Ah, gotcha.
But, yeah, up in New York, we do all sorts of flying in the summer.
Oh, it's beautiful up there. And it's funny, too, the next story that we're going to talk about actually takes place in up at Chautauqua Lake. And I used to spend some summers up there fishing for, what was the name of them? Northern Pike.
Mm-hmm.
So it's beautiful up there. But okay, anyway, I'll quit rambling on here. Let's get into your story. When I read it, I was absolutely amazed by it and the things that happened and what went on. So run us through the story. I want to hear it from your perspective and just go for it.
Okay, yeah. Well, this was about, 3 years ago now. So some of the dates and stuff are a little fuzzy, but it was about middle summer, so July, and my dad was going to work, so he dropped me off at the airport, because it's right on the way, and it's like 2 miles from our house. And I guess I got to back up a little bit. For like a week before that, this pits was being built, and it was just a beautiful pits, and over in the hangar where it was being built, there was this Luscom, and I'm pretty good friends with the guy who owns the Luscom and was building the pits, so I'd go over there a couple times a day to watch him build it, and drool over his nice Luscom there. And so it took him about a week to put this thing together. And he was building it for another guy. And the Friday he got it done, we were all up at the airport, but the guy he was building it for wasn't there. So we had to wait till the next day for him to come down. He was like 3 hours away, so it's quite a drive for him to get down there. But he was running it up up and down in between the hangars, because our model field is situated in between the two runways of DeGrasse Airport there.
Okay.
So just up around the hangars, away from all the stuff, we were just taxiing it around, and it was at least 5 horsepower engine.
Wow.
I think it came out of a chainsaw or something. So it was serious business.
Right.
And it was real loud, so we could hear it from all the way across the airport, and we all went running out to see him taxiing it around. And as far as I know, he had charged the battery up that day.
Uh-huh.
To be flying. And it was just before he was headed home, so it was all full and charged. And with a gas motor, one of you guys could probably talk a little bit better about this, because I've only ever owned a slowpoke, which is my only gas plane. But when you charge the batteries up with that, it's not like with a LiPo, where running a LiPo in an electric plane, if that thing dies, you know it real quick, because your motor stops running, it starts pulsing at
right.
you, and you get down real quick. But with a gasser, and you have a, I guess they're NiCad in there. Somebody will probably correct us in the comments.
It could have been a NiCad. I mean, they'll run, I believe they have the LiPo packs, but yeah, it's very possible to run the NiCad for the ignition.
Yeah, and even up there, I guess he had an onboard ignition with that. I don't really know. This is so long ago, and I wasn't paying that close attention. But it seems like around there we'll put all sorts of fancy stuff in the airplane, and then it comes to the battery, and it's just the El Cheapo thing out of the bottom of the toolbox that we found.
Oh.
So I had no clue what was in it, but he charged it up and let it sit in his hangar overnight after he'd been running it around. And didn't charge it the next day when we got back out there. But nobody knew that because he got there before anybody else. So him and the guy who owns or who was going to buy it, who it had been built for, loaded up in the truck and go out to the field. Now, I was going to go out and follow him, but the owner of the airport, I was standing at the clubhouse, which is kind of doubles as a hangar and museum. There's actually a restaurant in there now, too. I started to walk out, and he told me, no, 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 hang back. So he knew something was about to go real wrong with this. I don't think any of us knew what was really going to happen. But,
right.
So they go out there and they take off, and I go back. I'm looking at the plans right now on my wall. Actually, it's called a bellhop out of an old magazine I found. So I go back to that and I hear them fire it up. So I walk back out and they're flying it around. It was pretty, it was cool, but from that far away, it wasn't real interesting. And then they start doing some aerobatics a couple minutes later, and they do like a roll or something, maybe a hammerhead. I don't remember it. And they bring it back around, going away from us. Away from the point of Chautauqua Lake, and actually towards Lake Erie, if you look at it on a map. And it pitched up into a loop, and I guess about a quarter of the way into it, the battery just completely died.
Oh, so they probably lost the the receiver battery, and then they just lost control.
Oh, yeah, it was, they had no control. And I guess it's just the same thing as with, like, a LiPo. If you crash real hard and it comes out of your ESC, the servos jam up.
Yeah, depending on what kind of, if they had no fail-safe programmed in or anything, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think they were using a fail-safe, because when it comes down to our receivers and stuff, they'll go all out with all the electronics but the receiver and the battery, so it was probably some El Cheapo thing.
Uh-huh.
And so, yeah, it jams up, and it does a loop, and like I said, I was back up at the clubhouse ways away from it, so I didn't know what was going on. So they did one loop. Okay, that's cool. I do two loops. That's even cooler. And then three loops.
Oh, my
four
gosh.
Loops. And now I'm starting to think, okay, something's going on here, because now it's coming towards us, and they're still doing loops with the thing.
Oh, my gosh. were they screaming and yelling at this point?
He's too far, probably.
I imagine they probably were. Yeah. It was far enough away. I couldn't hear it.
Actually, okay.
It was loud enough that it would have drowned him out from that far away. But so this thing keeps doing loops and loops and loops, and it's coming towards us, and I'm standing there with the airport owner, and we both looked at each other. I think he figured out what happened before I did, because he started getting his truck to drive out there to, I guess, go fuss him out. But they had already started coming back in at that point, because they realized it was headed for some houses.
Oh, my gosh.
And, it's a little, like, micro T-28 or something. You crash into a house, the owner might be mad. But
quarter scale might come through your roof.
Yeah, you put a quarter scale pits through the house, and it's going to not be a good story for them. No. So they start headed for these houses.
Oh, man.
And we're watching it, and these two guys have been flying it, go chasing after it in their truck, trying to see where it goes down, and we eventually just lost sight of it being back at the airport.
Wow.
And I said, okay, that thing's gone. I started to go back to what I was doing. And the owner says, listen for the firehouse siren to go off.
This was the best part.
Great. I like this part.
Yeah. So I guess you've been up around New York. You guys live in Ohio. I don't know if it's the same in all those small towns, but up there they have the one local firehouse for each town.
Right.
And when there's something that goes on, everybody hears the siren. Everybody knows there's something going on.
Right.
And a few years before, this was back before I was going regularly to the airport. I was probably pretty young, because I don't know the real date, but I guess it was early 2000s this happened. Somebody was flying like a half-scale Cub, and they were up pretty high, and the wing came off.
Oh, jeez.
And that crash looked so realistic that somebody somewhere called it in, and they brought in ambulances. They brought in, I heard, a life flight helicopter came into the scene, all for a model airplane.
Oh, man.
So we were both just dreading that happening.
Sure.
And after about 5 more minutes or so, after we just completely lost sight of the pits, we heard the siren go off.
Oh, no.
And I like I said, everything's a little fuzzy, but the way I like to remember this is the airport on his face, just, it was like somebody undid a cork and all the color just came draining out of him. Now, we both just stood there waiting for the trucks to come to the airport. Whenever something happens with an airplane, that airport is where they all go.
Right.
And just, that's like the scapegoat of the town.
Sure.
For bad stuff happening because the public doesn't know what's going on. Sure. As usual with this sort of thing. But, I don't want to say thankfully it wasn't for us, because that means it probably was for something a lot
another
more serious.
Issue, yeah.
Mm-hmm. An airplane. Yeah. But
I bet that next 15 minutes after the siren, you guys were on pins and needles, though, waiting for them to show up. Wow.
Yeah, but they, the trucks didn't come for us, and I guess they all sort of laughed it off after that, even though they just lost about $1,000 of airplane. But, you know, it was funny if you weren't the one who just built the airplane. And the airport owner, he sold him the pits, so he got his money.
Oh,
I don't think he was that concerned about it.
Yeah, I bet.
But I guess 2 years ago now, so like a year after it happened, this family was cleaning seaweed out of Chautauqua Lake. Because that thing, lake, after about halfway through July, you can't put a fishing line out there without catching nothing but weeds.
Right.
So they're cleaning it out around their dock, I guess, and they find this ditch. And they brought it back up, and they tried to duct tape the thing back together and, like, give it to their kids or something. And all the electronics and everything were still in it. I don't know if they work. I would imagine they don't work.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
Gutting it. But they start looking on Craigslist after a while to see if they can sell the thing, and they see that the airport owner had another one of these pits up for sale. So they bring it in. I think they called him to see what was going on with it. And he's like real quietly told him, bring it in. Don't tell anybody that you have this. We still weren't sure if it had done some damage to anything.
Yeah.
And so they bring it in all duct taped up. And I think there was still some seaweed in it actually when they got it. And so they got the airplane back and they sent me a picture of it on, I was telling Chris when he called me a little bit early on March 14th, of a couple of years ago. I remember that because it's my birthday, and that's when I got the picture. So in about a week here will be the anniversary of when that pits came back to the airport.
Oh, my God. What kind of shape was it in after being underwater for almost 4 years?
You know, it, other than just what had happened from when it wrecked, and I guess I don't really know what they people who found it did to it.
Uh-huh.
But it really wasn't that bad. The left wing, I think, was the wing that was just completely obliterated. It was all there, but it was not there. It was in pieces. And everything else was pretty much okay, other than the fact it'd been below water for a year.
Did I
frozen on everything.
Did I read you guys display it now, and it's a conversational piece?
We did do that up until this summer.
Okay.
Well, it was actually my idea. I was looking for a winter project, so I went up to the owner of the airport who had just, the builder didn't want it back and the buyer didn't want it back.
Sure.
He kept it and put it up in the museum there.
Mm-hmm.
And so I asked him, like, would you be okay with me taking this back to North Carolina and trying to put back together this winter? And I think he knew how much I was about to get into. So he said, just bring it out here and we'll take the electronics out of it so that I can have those as parts. So we got the thing, and as I'm looking at it, I just realized that it was so waterlogged and
rotten
that I wouldn't even be able to do anything with
it.
So we decided it'd be funny to try to take it back over to the guy who built the hangar and hang it up in there. Just kind of hold it over his head, literally. And it ended up getting run over by his car. So this thing, that pit just couldn't catch a break.
No, it doesn't sound like it.
Wasn't meant to be.
No.
Yeah, it's in a dumpster somewhere now, I think.
Oh, my gosh. That's probably one of the craziest crash stories I think I've ever heard.
And be quarter scale too. I don't know. You don't.
Yeah, normally a quarter scale airplane, you're gonna find it or pieces or something.
Yes.
You know?
It took us like 2 years to figure out what that thing was.
Two years.
Wow, that's unbelievable. That is a fantastic crash. Well, hey, while I got you on the line, it made me think of something. I got kind of a funny story related to that. You were talking about the local fire station or whatever. People seen thought they seen a
cub.
A cub going down. We were at work one day, And I had one of the guys I work with who was running an excavator, and I was on a dozer, and he's jumping off, he's waving his arms out, hey, Chris, whoa. And I thought, oh my gosh, what happened? Yeah. So I stop, and he points over, and I look up, and I see this cub up in the sky, and it's going down, coming up, going down. And he's like, there's something wrong with that plane. It's going down. What should we do? You know, and I'm watching it, and it, you know, from our vantage point looking at it, it did look like a real cub, and it
erratic
flight. Yeah, but you know, I couldn't really hear it. I'm like, well, we should hear some kind of motor. Mm-hmm. So we got in the truck and we took off and went, you know, to go check it out to see what was going on. And here it was a Hobby Zone Super Cub. A kid was flying out the back of his house and was flying it in this big field. You know, once we got up there and I got out and I could hear the old, you know, brush motor and the gearbox, you know, and this thing's going up and down. I'm like, it's just an RC airplane, man. That's, you know. Wow. But really from that vantage point, what we were looking at, it really did look like a real airplane in trouble. You know, it was funny.
Yeah. We've tricked a couple people out. Still recently with that, just flying from our model field, people stop and say, oh, I thought that was a real airplane in trouble.
Yeah, we've...
One guy... What was that?
No, go ahead.
Just one guy... There's a flea market there, too. And one guy high-started a Fling 2-meter glider from Great Plains.
Uh-huh.
And was flying around circling, and there's full-size glider operations there. Too. So he's circling around looking for lift over our field. And I'm over at the flea market, and I hear this vendor who had a spot there saying, I think that glider's in trouble. He can't get back down. And I look over, and I knew the guy who was flying. I said, yeah, he's in real trouble.
Oh, that is funny.
Well, it's funny because my supervisor, we got to talking about dummy paratroopers they used in World War II, and they were like half-scale people.
Oh, really?
But when they were shooting their ammo at, they were just unloading all this ammo on these dummies, but you can't tell the depth perspective.
That's funny.
And they were just wasting all kinds of ammo on these dummy paratroopers because you didn't have to have a full-scale person or anything. I mean, in the air, you don't know what's coming down.
Yeah.
And it was pretty interesting. I started researching a little bit on the internet and stuff, and they did utilize them. So
yeah, Wayne and I get that a lot with the beavers too. If we're out flying around and people, you know, drive by and you'll see them come back and stop, and they're like, "Oh, I thought that was a real airplane."
Yeah, the depth perception is really tricky.
Yeah,
on a lot of the scale stuff.
That's awesome, Sean. I really appreciate you sharing that with us. And
that was a great story. We appreciate it.
And nice to talk to you and everything. So hopefully, you know, I tell people this. I don't know if it's good or bad. And I hope I don't hear too much from you anymore. But
or with a different story types of stories.
Yeah,
maybe,
yeah.
So yeah, you know, I don't know. This is sort of unrelated. I was just looking online here. If you haven't talked about it already, it's sort of a discussion piece for this podcast. This guy has a DJI Phantom that he was filming airliners with over in Malaysia.
Oh, you gotta be kidding me.
He's within probably 150 feet of him filming coming in.
Wow.
And so I don't know if one of y'all has internet there to look that up right now, but he put it all over Instagram and then went on RC groups trying to cover his tracks, like badmouthing himself. So
really?
They caught on to that real quick.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty good.
Wow. We'll have to check into that. Maybe we can find out a little bit and we'll talk a little bit about that. But wow, that's crazy. Yeah. Mm. All right, Sean. Hey, we really appreciate it. And maybe we'll talk to you again soon. All right?
Yeah, sounds good. Thanks.
All right.
All right.
Take care.
Sean. See ya.
Yeah, you too. Thanks.
Wow, that was good.
All right.
Good story. All right. Move along. Wayne's checking on that. Let's. We're going to move along a little bit and finally get into some of the newer products that finally have been announced or come out. Or first thing, I got to thank a gentleman, Kai Gonnet, and he's actually from Germany, and he heard us talking about on a podcast before, and he got a hold of Austin and sent me a link of all the new stuff that came out at the International Toy Fair there in Germany. Mm-hmm. So Kai, just wanted to throw a shout out and say thanks a lot for that, because I did go through that list and found some stuff. So I don't know where you guys want to start. How about we start with maybe Hobbico, and we'll go through some of their new things. Now, I do want to say some of the stuff that Kai sent on the list, and I was going through of it, there are a lot of products And it's kind of funny. I don't know if it works both ways, but a lot of the products I've seen that did come out are only available in Europe. And I don't know if that works both ways, where maybe we get some stuff and they don't get it over there. I don't know. But they had some pretty cool stuff over there that I don't think we're going to see, because on the websites I kept pulling up was only a European address. So and I couldn't find some of this stuff over here. So I think most of it you know, that I was looking at is going to be over there. First thing, let's start out with Habaco. And I know we talked a little bit about it before, but they're coming out with their own stabilization system.
Is that the Wise?
That's the Wise. And they're going to put it on their Sensei trainer. That you know, that plane's been around for a while. And they're kind of doing the same thing Horizon did, you know, where they come out with a safe and they put it on the Apprentice, because that was a real well, you know, great trainer, high wing trainer. So they took the Sensei, or the Sensei, and put their Wise system on. And I was reading a little bit about that. They finally released it and everything. And it's, to me, reading about it, sounds almost identical to the safe that Horizon has. You know, they're going to have like a beginner, intermediate, and advanced position, along with some type of panic button of some sort. So, and I don't think that's out now, but it should be coming out.
It seemed like when I read it, there was one a different feature, and I can't even point it out. The safe and
could be what I seen.
That's very similar.
Yes, very similar. Matter of fact, let me see if I can. I might be able to pull it up here real quick while we're looking here. No, that's not. That's something different. Yeah, from what I read, it seemed to be pretty much. Yeah,
we can leave it at that. Yeah, for now, I guess.
The other thing they got coming out, they have a new revised, I believe, version of that L3. Go ahead, Mike.
Did they have a return to home feature? Maybe.
I don't think so.
I read that.
I don't think so. If it is, then I completely miss it. But I don't think it had the.
Okay. Don't quote me on that. Then. Right. But it might be.
I can look and see. The other thing they got coming out, they got a new L39 foam ducted fan jet they're bringing out. It's a nice-looking jet. I don't know. Let's see. We got a lot of stuff here. I don't know. I'm not going to get into real specifics with everything here. So, you know, whatever we're talking about, you can just go online if you're really interested and get the deep lowdown on it. But anyway, for the L39 jet made by FlyZone, it's... you know, an advanced jet. It's supposed to do over 90 mile an hour. Obviously, run on a 4-cell brushless power system, hyperflow ducted fan. It's got the what they call their aerocell foam. It's a nice looking jet. The only thing that really got me is it's pretty small. It's only got a 25 inch wingspan. Let's see, requires 4-channel radio, micro receiver, and it runs on in here it says a 3 or 4-cell 2200 LiPo, which I guess that's kind of good if you wanted to, you know, just get in the jets and you know, don't need the 90 miles an hour. You can put a 3-cell 2200 in it. So that's kind of a good option for that. They also, I seen, and I believe it's out, Mike. I don't know if you've seen it. It's called the Inyum Indoor Flyer. Have you seen that yet?
No.
It's really small. Something, you know, especially for us people living up north. It's, I believe, just a little 3-channel indoor flyer. Really, really small. So if you guys want looking for something to fly indoors, you can check that out. The only other thing I think we have is I believe that they sell, they have, and we've talked about them before, is the Dramata Omnis quadcopters that we've been flying around here. And one neighbor's got one, and they fly the daylights out of them, and we flew them at Rotor DR1, and they're almost unbreakable, but just a fantastic, cheap quadcopter if you want to learn on. But the cool thing is they're bringing out a new one. Mm-hmm. And it's FPV, and it looks like it's going to retail for $199. Now, good and bad things, I guess. The things I do like about it, in a way, if you know you're just getting into FPV, I like the Wi-Fi that you can use off your phone or off your tablet. It's very easy. You pull it out of the box, and you're basically, you know, kind of ready to go. And from what I've been reading, really with the F the Wi-Fi, you're still getting the same range. They're still saying it's about 300 feet, or you know, depending on your what's in front of you and whatever. 300 feet of distance with the Wi-Fi to fly FPV, which is about stock-wise, you know, I don't think I've been getting much more than that with some of the Horizon stuff that's flying right off the 5.8 gigahertz. So, you know, ready to fly, has his own transmitter.
And then it had a little holder for your iPhone, too, I noticed.
Yep, little holder for your iPhone, and it has various settings on it for, like, beginner, intermediate, and advanced, you know, options on it with the self-leveling and everything. So it's a really nice quadcopter. So I was kind of excited to see it, to come out for FPV.
Yeah, to correct that, the Wise, I did not see it on the site.
Yeah, I don't think it does.
There was one of the planes we reviewed that did have a return. I can't remember which one it is now.
Okay.
Maybe I'll see it as we get along here.
What do you think of these quads, the FPV stuff, Wayne? You know, a lot, and there's another one we'll talk about here too. A lot of them are coming out, running off the Wi-Fi. Right off your phone.
Well, excuse me. You'll automatically have range issues. I mean, they're not going to be made to go far.
No,
Wi-Fi,
they're not.
Wi-Fi is not a long distance signal.
Yeah,
but right. You know, for what you want to do, it's
flying it's around cheap. The backyard mm-hmm. and
I guess I thought at first that it was using and it Wi-Fi with the phone. It's strictly Wi-Fi. I thought it was maybe using transmitter receiver and then from the transmitter Wi-Fi the phone.
No,
there would be too much data transfer, I think, to try to keep up with type FPV.
Now you're looking at something like the Parrot that runs off of that, I believe.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
they do have the technology then.
Yeah, you can actually fly it right off your iPad or your phone.
Okay,
so, but yeah, I think it's pretty cool. Looks cool. The commercials
they
had.
Did you see the commercial? Did you watch them with the cop and the donuts?
Yeah, that was really good. I really enjoyed that.
Then they threw the net on it. And,
yep.
Yeah, I got a kick out of that one.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. All right, so I think that's about it for most of the Hobbico stuff. Like I said, I on the website for the Toy Fair, I've seen quite a few other stuff, but some of it I don't think it's going to be available here. How about Hobby King? You want to go talk a few new things at Hobby King that I seen?
The Sea Fury is pretty cool. I like it.
Yeah, nice, and if you have that up, Wayne, if you wanted to read.
That's what I was telling him before you showed up, that was one of my favorite-looking planes.
Yeah.
The ones he suggested.
And I've known about that for quite a while because Andre Russo up there, our favorite Canadian, he's been looking at that quite a bit. And it's actually a whole new line for Hobby King, you know, how they have their Durafly line. Well, they brought out another line called Avios, A-V-I-O-S. And the first one they brought out was a Hawker Sea Fury, which is a good looking airplane. And the thing with this, it's pretty big. Do you have what the wingspan is on it?
1200 millimeters.
1200 millimeters. So you know they're kind of going right in line with competition with FMS.
Mm-hmm.
You know, runs on a 4-cell, retractable gear, lights, and you know it's a full
Did
setup.
Did it have split flaps or something?
Split flaps. That. Yeah.
And then it had some LEDs on the wing
LEDs.
Tips. And then it also had the drop tanks that you could drop.
Yeah, great looking airplane.
I really did like it. The looks of that plane.
Yeah, and I know Andre's been really been looking at it.
Really?
Yeah, he wants a Warbird really bad, and I know, you know, they've been their Durafly line. They've been supposed to be. Let's see. Yeah, their P-40 is should have been here now, and it's been on delay and I don't know what's going on with it. So he was getting anxious and looking at the Sea Fury. So
and the thing that amazes me with this thing is it's on the East Coast warehouse. It is in stock.
Yeah.
In the U.S. So
yeah, and you know,
and did it have a 4-blade and 5-blade?
I believe
I
so.
I saw on the advertisement.
Scale
I like
blade.
That 5-blade.
That looks nice. Looks that 5-blade really. I agree.
Yeah. So, guys, go check out that if you're really into the
features
scale.
From a lot of planes that I like that are kind of – it almost seems like a combination. I don't know how to explain it.
You mean the Sea Fury?
Yeah, the
itself?
Sea Fury.
Yeah, it's a nice-looking airplane.
Mm-hmm. It kind of reminds me a little F-4F, a little Spitfire.
Yeah.
I don't know, just a nice combo of different – I don't know, in my mind, obviously. But its features look really neat.
Yeah, it'll be interesting, three, 4 months down the road, durability – why right. See what
I can't remember the price point. 211
245
yeah 245 okay. Which you know they're right in line with competition with FMS, so again I think it'll be interesting to see how they do see how it works.
I was glad you pointed that one out to look at. Thank you.
The other thing too I'd seen and at first I glanced at it and blew right over it, and then watched the little video on it that HK did. But they have a Aerosport 103 scale ultralight coming out, and this thing is huge. Like, yeah, I didn't notice again, when I first seen it, I just blew right over it, and then I think it was on one of their daily updates or something. They actually had it on the table, and I was like, like, what? Whoa, this thing is huge.
Yep, I
and
did it's, the same thing.
It's really cool looking, and here's the thing. You can run it on a 20 to 30cc gas engine or a 6-cell 5000 with a 400 to 580 size brushless motor, you know, with a 100 amp ESC. But I'm telling you right now, if that thing's in the air and you got a 30cc gas motor on it and you see that thing, I'm going to think it's real, you know, because it comes with a pilot and everything in it. So that's pretty cool. I'd like to hopefully once they get it out and everything, they'll have some video of it flying. I'd like to see that. I think the first plane out this year for their Durafly line is the German ME-163. it's on the ships and coming out now. Now, I'm a huge German warbird fan. I love all the German warbirds. I mean, my favorite warbird actually is the ME-109 Messerschmitt. But I've always had my eye on an ME-163, but the problem is, generally, anybody that has made one, they fly horrible just because of the design and the shape and everything. They're just they're hard to get to fly well. So I was pretty impressed that Hobby King grabbed this and tried to do it.
Is this it here?
That's another one they make. That's their big balsa one that they make. This one here's a smaller, you know, park flyer type.
I don't know if I ever got an image of that then. I tried typing it in, but oh well.
Now, the cool, I'm kind of mixed on this. It is kind of cool. Now, they put a prop on it. You know, original one was a jet, but it has a small prop on the front. And I think when it, you know, once it's out flying or whatever, if it has good flying characteristics, I love the looks of it. I think it's pretty cool looking. And I seen some, I'm trying to remember if I seen some flying when they were down in Australia with it. I believe they did. And now, Wayne, you don't like it, do you?
No. I think it's absolutely ugly.
Do you have a picture of it?
No. Not yet.
I don't think I like it either.
You don't like it either?
No.
Okay.
Does it look like this balsa at all? See, I can't really gauge it. This balsa, really. I don't like the looks of, so I don't know. Maybe I didn't see a picture.
I don't know if they have an actual picture of it on their website yet.
They do. Let me bring it up because I had it last night.
Yeah, I can't say until I actually see that one, maybe.
But it is on the boat, and I guess it's from about 6 to 8 weeks out on for the warehouses, so we should see it soon. I'm going to watch it on the forums a little bit. I'm really interested to see how the flying characteristics are going to be, because they're generally not very good on RC scale version of that. And again, I'll just throw it out there. Supposedly, Stuart said that P-40 should be. It's supposed to be coming out right after the M-163. You don't like it either, Mike? Looking at it,
that's hideous.
Oh, man,
it looks like a little toy. I mean, it just
looks like from a cartoon.
I think
or
the
something.
Thing that really kills it is that the prop stupid on the little front, yellow spinner on there.
Yeah.
That it makes it look cheap. That,
yeah,
they should have came up with something other than that yellow.
But it looks like a flying green football or something. I don't know.
A football with wings. I don't know. I just think it's goofy.
Oh, that's funny. I'm going to try to dig up the video of it, though, and see. I'm going to send it and watch it in the air, and I want to see if it'll change
and
your mind.
It's funny because
you
know me. I'd like to try to fly just about anything, but I look at this thing and it's like, maybe not this one.
Yeah. Yeah. Be interesting to see. So, I think that's about it for Hobby King. Again, guys, if there's stuff out there that obviously there's some stuff I kind of skim over. You know, I try to pick out some of the things that I think they're going to be, more popular, I guess you could say. But obviously, there's always stuff out there that we miss or you guys might like, and we can talk about it, maybe even test it for you. So don't hesitate. Let us know. Let's see.
Did we go over the horizon?
Nope, not yet.
Okay,
but
hold on.
Real quick before we get there, since we're kind of on the Warbird thing, FMS does have a new airplane out. They've kind of been going along this 980 or 990 millimeter series warbirds, loaded with retracts, you know, flaps, nav lights and everything. But the kicker is they run on a foresail and they're supposed to be 100 mile an hour out of the box. And I've seen the P-47 that they have. I've seen the P-40 and the looks. I'm very intrigued by them. And I seen the P-47 fly at Flight Fest last year, and seeing it and feeling it and touching it, you know, I talked to the guy that was flying it, and he was really impressed with it and the quality and everything. So they seem slowly to be adding on to that. Like I said, it started with a P-47 Razorback, which you don't see a whole lot. And then they went to the P-40. And now they brought out, and this is really weird why they, you know, brought this plane out, because it's kind of rare, I think. I haven't seen many of them. But they brought out a KI 61, which was made by Kawasaki, that flew in World War II. It's a warbird for the, you know, the Japanese. Mm-hmm. And I think they brought it out later on in the war. And it's a really unique airplane. When the Allied troops first seen the plane, if you kind of glance at it, it kind of looks like a German BF-109 Messerschmitt. Mm. And so they thought it was one of them, but they were wondering why it had, you know, the Japanese colors on. So if you glance at it, it does kind of, you know, and it was one of their fastest, most maneuverable planes they had at the end of the war. It was the only one they had with an inline motor, and it did some pretty good damage, I guess, from, you know, the end of the war. But I haven't seen too many of them. Mm-hmm. And it's just funny to hear, you know, for me, a Kawasaki. Every time I hear a Kawasaki, you know, you think of a motorcycle, sure, or something. Yeah. But it's, you know, Kawasaki is, they're in everything from heavy equipment to, you know, airplanes and, you know, all mm-hmm. kinds of stuff. So that's all I seen for FMS. So I think we can jump into Horizon Hobby. Now, real quick, before we get into Horizon Hobby, you guys know, and I've talked about it, I was always really excited for the International Toy Fair and you know, listening to the announcements and everything, and excited to go up to Toledo. And I don't know what's going on here lately or anything, and I got to give some props up to Horizon Hobby, because when the Toy Fair come out, I mean, I was scouring the internet, you know, trying to find stuff. And a lot of the first things, again, is in German. So I'm looking at pictures and trying to figure out what's what and everything. But props to Horizon Hobby. The second them doors opened there, over there in Germany, they released everything, put out a big newsletter, let everybody know what was coming out. And it was just very easy. I knew right away. No searching, no. So, I wish more manufacturers would do that, you know, the bigger manufacturers. Right. So, but Mike, what do you want to start with here? What's you seen the list. What's your favorite on there?
Oh,
any idea?
You threw me on the spot.
All right, go ahead. You think about it. I'll get rolling. First couple things on their list was the DX7. And they're bringing out a new DX18 Generation 2 Stealth Edition. Now, as you kind of notice the pattern here, they're kind of redoing all their radios. Mm-hmm. You know, they're getting rid of they're bringing in this the voice radios and the open system, to where, you know, don't get me wrong, I still have my DX8, and mm-hmm. I love my DX8, oh, yeah. But I recently just purchased a DX9. And going through there and seeing the options that you can do with that, mm-hmm. and having the open channels to assign to anything you want.
Right.
Why they didn't do that in the first place, I don't know why.
Yep.
And I'm already noticing it's so much easier to do things. And I think for us too, for many different planes that we fly, it just makes it easier.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, the new DX7 and DX18 Generation 2 are coming out.
Oh, I know what my favorite would probably be.
What?
Out of the list was a UMX Whippet.
Ah, okay.
So we'll get into that eventually. But that the list you gave me, that all intrigued me the most.
I agree with you. Hey, they brought out a new heli. They're bringing out a new Blade 360. Yes. I knew Wayne would be on this. Yes. Blade 360.
Airbrush scheme on that.
CFX heli, aerobatic heli. And I've actually watched a couple videos on that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that thing is beautiful. Yeah. It looks really good. So any of you 3D heli guys out there looking, you know, what is that around 450 size?
Five. Oh, this is 360.
Yeah, so it would be right around 450 size, or maybe just a little bit smaller, being they're calling it a 360. Mm-hmm. But perfect, you know, to get out there and learn the aerobatics on. Next up, I'm going to talk. Let's see, the Blade Nano 3D quadcopter just come out. Now, this thing's crazy looking. Did you see any of the videos on that thing?
Yes, I did watch the videos.
To me,
it kind of looked like a flying basket. I don't know why. Well, because of the prop guards being inverted and stuff.
See if you agree with me. You know, we are so used to flying the regular Nano. When you look at this, they built it upside down.
Right. Yeah.
Like everything is completely upside down.
I should say an upside down basket.
Yeah. Like and that. I'm thinking it would take me 2 months to figure out how to fly it normally because, you know, I was kind of wonder why they did that.
Well, they said when it's. Yeah, I mean, the orientation stays the same, though. Did you see that? Like, if you're flying upside down, it's still forward, back.
Right.
You're not doing true inverted, like in mindset,
right,
I guess.
Right, right. And they put the same technology as they did on their little 200 quad, is it actually just reverses the motors.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. So when you flip, which is – it's. I wouldn't think that would last long on them poor little motors.
Yeah, I would think that would be hard on it.
Yeah.
And the I think I said, I'm not real familiar with it, but the manual, like the throttle after the 50% point, it will reverse.
Yeah,
you can do inverted. Right. It's like, whoa,
that's all
another level I've never experienced.
Which, that takes you back into your 3D helicopter stuff.
Is that it's what kind, they do?
Yeah,
too?
Okay, same concept.
Yes.
Except, you know, obviously their blades are pitching different, where this are just actually reversing the motors. The videos are awesome. I think it's a cool idea, especially people maybe want to learn a little bit more 3D with the quad stuff. Again, that's something they can play with, crash it, and you know you're not going to hurt it. It is cool.
So that is a skill level you could learn then.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, if you wanted to get into that, that would be your ticket. Absolutely, right there.
The light. I did like the lighting scheme on it. I noticed
it was it different. Bright.
No, I mean on the 3D.
Oh, okay.
The 3D
Indiana. Yeah,
I did like the lighting when they were shown in the demo.
So, guys, if you want to get into a little bit of...
They were trying to sell me that when I was in Reading, Pennsylvania. I went to I was actually Norristown, Pennsylvania for work. I stopped by the local hobby shop
there. Yeah, yeah.
And they had one on the display case. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, I couldn't wrap my head around 3D. I'm like,
what?
And he's like, and you fly a lot? I'm like, for some reason, I was thinking like a 3D FPV, something 3D FPV-wise. And then I meant, 3D maneuverability.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I got it on the counter here. You can fly it if you want. I didn't tackle that, but I knew it was out. So,
yeah, I think it'd be fun to try it. I think I don't know if I'd buy one right off the bat, but I would like to try. It'd be kind of cool to be hovering inverted, you know, a few inches off the ground. Maybe I don't know. All right, moving along here. I'll try to keep this thing going. The other thing, let's see. Oh, the new eFlight Rare Bear is coming out. Go ahead, Mike.
I'm sorry. My mind is all over the place.
That's fine.
But one cool thing with it being able to fly inverted, a lot of times I flip my FPV and I have to go upstairs and reflip it to go where if you flip this upside down, you lift right off.
Yeah.
I thought that's a bonus feature that I would like.
Yeah.
So that was one thing that I did enjoy because so many times it gets flipped over and you're like, I got to track upstairs, go flip it back over or bring it back down.
I got my little one trained, buddy. Xander, I'm upside down.
He's like the old remote control for the TV. Yeah.
What's funny
when we were young, we had to get up and change the dial. I was like, oh, man.
It's funny. I keep telling him, I said, Xander, just flip me right over right there. No, he picks it up, brings it all the way downstairs. Yeah. I'm like, you don't have to.
Yeah.
Poor kid.
Okay, I just wanted to point that out because that was a thought I had on it that I did like.
Okay, the eFlight Rare Bear. Now, again, that's in their kind of in their park flyer, their normal, 40-some inch wingspan.
Fast.
Now, just my thought. I'll give you my thoughts, and I'd like to listen to your thoughts. I first glanced at this, and I think I was actually talking to Andre, you know, when this first came out. But I looked at it and seen that it was purple, and I'm like, forget it.
It looks like a toy. It really is.
Forget it.
Again, the toy factor.
So normally what I do if something new comes out, I get on the forums and listen to the chatter and see, you know, what people were thinking. And there was quite a few people on there like, what are they doing? You know, they brought out a purple plane, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Purple plane with red wings.
And 100 mile an hour.
Right.
It's like, is that really a toy? 100 miles an hour.
But here's what kind of changed my mind. A gentleman come on there and kind of gave us the history of this airplane and the details and everything. And once I read through there, and I kind of wish I would have wrote them down now, but the I'm paraphrasing here, and I may be wrong on a few things, so don't flame me. But apparently the Blue Angels flew this plane and realized that it had so much potential, you know, with the big motor and everything, that they started doing stuff in that plane that they couldn't do in anything else, and, mm-hmm. and flew that plane for quite a few years. So when they, you know, turned it into a Reno racer, you know, they clipped the wings and they put a 2,000 horsepower or they upped the horsepower, you know, to 2,000, I think, from 1,000. And it was a plane that, you know, a lot of other racers couldn't touch for a long time. Mm. And the actual paint scheme came, I think, from 2014, I believe. I can't remember what the guy was telling us. But anyway, he posted a picture up of it. So once I got a little history behind the plane and realized, you know, that plane's been around for years and they change the paint scheme on it, you know, every so many years, and it's been around for a long time, I kind of liked it a little bit better. And then watching the video, you know, that Horizon put out, it's pretty cool. Now, the only drawback I have really with it, it runs on a big four-cell, like 3200, and four-cell 3200 batteries are a little pricey.
And that's why it gets the speed, too. Yeah. I'm like, oh, that's why.
Right. But, you know, they also have a video out with Seth Arnold, which was the product developer, and he kind of went through the design process and the things they did. And a normal plane like that would be very tip stally with the clip wing and, you know, the stuff they did with it. Obviously, by the video, mm-hmm. it flies really well. What do you think of it, Wayne?
Well, I'd have to try it, but a 100-mile-an-hour plane, I'm not so sure.
Oh, I think you'd be able to handle it okay. And again, you can
tame it down.
Yeah, you don't have to, you know, but I think just the looks alone for me really threw me off at first. But for some weird reason, it's really been growing on me lately. So I don't know.
With that color scheme, is it easier to spot in the skyline?
Oh, I'm sure it would. Yeah.
It's pretty brilliant.
Yeah, and the bottom is kind of what? Bright yellow with the big rare bear words on the bottom.
Even though it might not appeal to you color-wise, you're going to visually be able to contrast it with the skyline.
It would be interesting to, even though they're completely two different airplanes, but they're high performance fast airplanes, I'd like to see the get an EFX racer, the Durafly mm-hmm. from Hobby King, kind of put them together and fly. It would be, you know, because the Rare Bear's a big airplane, like it's just physically a large, you know, fuselage and clipped wing, and it's just big, where, you know, the Durafly racer is very sleek, small, thin airfoil. You know, it does run on a four cell, but you're only running an 1800, you know, where this one's running 3300. 50C. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's a big, pretty big, expensive battery. But if you got them and you like fast airplanes, I would definitely go check this one out for sure.
Just, I'm a scatterbrain, but that's, I wanted to go back to the Sensei Wise. It did have a cargo bay that I thought was neat. Maybe you did mention it.
I did mention it, but yeah.
I know it's a simple feature for the most part, but I think that's always a neat feature.
That is a good idea.
Drop feature, because they show candy dropping out of this plane in their pictures.
That plane's been around for quite a while, and like I said, obviously they chose a good flying, you know, high wing type trainer to try out their Wise system. So anything else on the Rare Bear? About it? All right, now I think on to probably our favorite. I think we're all in agreement to that.
Yeah, I know it's coming.
Last but not least for Horizon Hobby, they're bringing out the E-Flight Ultra Micro Whippet DLG. Now, I first seen this, I was like, I got to have it. I mean, right off the bat. But the backstory on this was kind of interesting. Again, reading through the forums, and Matt Anderson, who we've chatted mm-hmm. with from Horizon Hobby, their product developer of this, he took a Champ Wing. And I think he put two together, I think it was, originally, and, you know, got some carbon rod or whatever and built a DLG out of that and flew it, I guess, around his house and stuff for a long time. And I believe he had it down last year, I don't know if he had it down at Horizon Indoor, but he's had it at a couple of the flying events.
He made it out of a Champ Wing?
I believe it was two Champ Wings put together. Oh, and got some, you know, it was a home-built design just for something he could walk out, you know, his back That's door, cool. his house. And I think he come to the realization, that I'd love to talk to Matt about it, that, you know, hey, man, this thing flies pretty darn good. Mm-hmm. And then obviously they built a prototype and he tested it out for quite a long time. So now the funny thing is, and obviously it has more wing area, but what really kind of threw me off, it's got a 24 inch wingspan, but it is actually
ultra micro, or was that to say micro?
Yeah, it's a UMX. Ultra micro. It's actually the same weight as an ultra micro Radian.
Mm-hmm. And those are light as a feather.
Yes.
In my mind. I mean, there's probably lighter things, right, but that thing is light.
Now, what excites me
the durability, though. It must have more durability. Like an ultra micro Radian. I mean, I broke it just grazing my door.
Right. And that's the thing. If you really look at it, it's a smaller wing and everything than the Radian, but this has got a larger wing area, and it's reinforced with carbon. I mean, obviously, it has to be if you're whipping this thing out of your hand. But from so far, what Matt, you know, has said on the forums and the videos I've watched, looks pretty darn good for just a, I don't want to say cheap.
No, just get out and chuck it around, have some fun with it.
Find some thermals in the late evening.
That's honestly how I'll probably introduce myself to it if I ever get to it.
And that's the thing that really excites me about this is how many emails and messages I've had about people like, hey, you know, I'm kind of interested in DLG, but I don't know where to start.
The price was high and a lot of that. Yeah, the price
on them things, you know, $500 is cheap.
And that intimidated me even with yours. I'm like, no way do I want to throw your products up in here. My luck, it'd go straight into the ground.
Yeah.
So you're not going to launch this thing real high.
Oh, no.
What it does is it really hones your flying ability because you don't have the prop. It's just you and the wind.
Yeah,
that'd be a lot of fun.
It'd absolutely.
You should still get fundamentals. You should still get some fundamentals. I know there's a different feel for the heavier ones and stuff, but at least I might get some of the fundamentals down with the idea behind it.
And that's part of my therapy, you know, day after you get off of work and, you know, you don't want to get into anything. Just go up to the field and just chuck it up in the air and just fly around for a little bit.
Yeah, you can just keep it in your car.
Yep.
Exactly. Right. And I think what's going to be very popular, you know, even with us, you know, we say we get three of these and we go out and even if we do fly our normal planes for a little bit and like, okay, time to throw these up in the air, you know, you can have just a little friendly competition like we're all up.
Yeah.
Last one down.
Yeah.
You know? Yep. And so I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
That would be fun.
And I think it's going to bring a lot more people in, you know, into the DLG market because yeah, it's been around, but it's kind of, you know, you don't see a lot of it around, I don't think.
Well, it's a steep price to pay to not know if you can do it.
Exactly.
Where you start out with something like this and just a little bit of a feel.
Yeah.
Just throw it up and see how you like soaring and trying to find,
a $70 price?
Yeah, right.
You're not out of anything.
No.
But then you find out, you know what, I like this, and you could start working your way up.
Yeah.
For a better feeling and experience with a larger DLG.
And even again, if you get into a group of people, you know, even five or six, seven, who knows how many, you know, I would have more fun flying, everybody flying that probably, you know, together, you know, like, you know, all up, last one down, something like that, than I would just going out flying the elf around.
Yeah, just being silly.
Yeah.
Having fun.
Yeah, so I'm excited for that. Well, I think that's it for Horizon. I think we covered much everything with them, and that's pretty. Oh, you know what? There is one more thing I forgot to throw out there, and I don't know if I kind of found this last minute, even though I knew it was coming out, or I think it's out already. Hi-Tech's throwing their own quadcopter into the mix, and it's kind of. I shouldn't say it's on the same line. It's a 450 size quadcopter, but it's an FPV quadcopter. But they're kind of going down the same road as Dramata is. It's got the Wi-Fi, the camera on it, and everything. So it's an FPV 450 size quadcopter that runs off the Wi-Fi. And I didn't get a price on that, but it is out now. So again, that'd be another option if you want something maybe just a little bit bigger that can maybe handle the weather elements a little bit more and you got a bigger yard or something like that. It does have a better Wi-Fi range on there. I can't remember off the top of my head, but I want to say something like 1,000 feet on the Wi-Fi, which I think is more on the Parrot
scheme.
Yeah. Yeah, they got a little bit longer range.
One thing, because I was looking at other things when you guys were talking about the new transmitters. What was it, the DX7 and the 18?
Yeah.
I noticed the antennas, they don't have the bendy.
Yes.
And I mean, I haven't broke mine yet, I can see that being a huge, huge
right
thing that they I can't believe they haven't done it before. I don't understand the concept.
I know. Mine's
that bendy thing, it is a nightmare. And on those newer transmitters, they did away with that. Kudos to that.
Right,
that's
right.
That's for sure.
That was one of my things. I think I broke mine twice. And if you look at mine now, I got it held together with shrink wrap.
And mine isn't broke. I don't know how it's not broke.
Yeah.
I finally got, instead of carrying my transmitter around in a little Giant Eagle grocery bags. I finally got a Pelican briefcase to carry it in, so hopefully I'll never break it at this point. But
yeah,
I'll never say never.
That was one of their big downfalls. Yeah, I agree. Was that stupid antenna? And from my understanding, now not only they got the main antenna, which is solid, and then also in the handles is like a diversity
that's
antenna.
That's how they got around it, I'll bet. Then.
Yeah.
Okay, so, that makes sense.
I was going to try to pull up. I thought I had
very
it on
cool
my
thought
phone.
On their process then.
Let me look real quick. Let me pull up. I'm going to pull up the specs on that quad. I was just curious of the takes me forever. New products. There it is. I was curious on the range on that, on the Wi-Fi there. Let me read it a little bit here.
And did you guys discuss on the DX18, they had like preset model configurations for a lot of the, was it the Horizon?
They do that with all their radios.
The SD card had like 250 basic models that they have that you can.
Oh, no. That's.
They're pre.
Internal memory is 250 models is what that means.
Well, I did see that, but then I saw where they had some type of existing models
they
that
do.
They do have
they
kind
do.
Of a basic configuration
yes.
for somehow
you
set
can,
up.
Yeah, what you do is if you buy one of their radios, and they do it not for a lot, but there are a few on there.
Okay.
I don't know down the road. If
it's not 250,
but
no. Yeah,
there's
the basic models.
Yeah, you can go right on the Spectrum website, pull your SD card out, put it in your laptop and say, okay, like the one I did was the Radium Pro because it was kind of sophisticated setup.
Mm-hmm.
Put the SD card in there, loaded the settings right on it, put it right in my radio, and boom, I was ready to go.
That's
and then
cool.
Didn't have
See,
to.
See, I'm a little old school yet
yeah.
that stuff, but it was fun to read about it.
Yeah, that's
things.
One of their cool features.
That is
features.
Nice. That
yeah.
is nice.
So they've really updated their radio. I'm really happy with the
There's
the
so
DX9.
Many things I'm not aware of. It's mind-boggling.
Okay, on this high-tech 450 quad, let me read through here real quick. High-performance quadcopter brings ultra-performance flying excitement to your own backyard. Equipped with a built-in high-definition action camera, you can You can capture astonishing aerial photos and shoot real-time high-resolution videos. Streamlined design, powerful brushless motors, ultra-efficient propellers, 22 to 33 mile-an-hour cruising speed. Here's a cool thing about it. It takes a 3-cell, but it'll take a 5,300 LiPo, which offers 20 to 25 minutes of flying time, which is awesome. That's one of my big gripes with the quadcopters.
You're limited on
Yeah, you're really
time.
Limited, and that's my biggest complaint with the Nano QX is that, we get about 3.5 minutes
yes.
on one battery. Just when you're really getting good and getting into it, the battery dies.
It does. It amazes me how quickly that goes.
It has an auto return to home feature, GPS-enabled directional control, built-in high-definition action camera, HD recording, capable of 1080p, 30 frames a second, 720 at 60 frames, 16 megapixel stills, 120 wide-angle HD lens, vertical camera control with shock isolation, Wi-Fi connection with 1,000 feet or 300 meter range for streaming video directly to the QCOP mobile QCOP or your mobile device. You can download their own app for iOS or Android. So I don't have a price on it, but it nice looking quadcopter. Any questions on that? None? All right.
I'm getting very tired at this point. Just like,
I know.
I'm drained now.
Anything else? Anything else anybody wanted to throw out there? Nothing at all? We're good? All right, I guess we've been going an hour and a half, and I feel like I've been rattling on, but All right, guys, we'll get out of here. I think we're starting to wind down a little bit. I'm getting hungry. Thanks again to everybody that's listening. Thanks to Sean. Thank you. Wayne's breaking stuff over there again. And hopefully this weather will break and we can get out there and get some stories for you and see what's going on.
Yeah, we really need to be creating some firsthand experiences here now. I'll tell you what.
I'm tired of reading.
I know. You wake up on Saturday morning, I grab my coffee. I'm like, well, I guess I just go read, you know, some more what's going on.
Yeah, we got to get experiences we can share now.
We got the Toledo. Mike, have you been up to the Toledo show?
Yes.
You have. Yes. Okay.
Once.
So
it's more of an exhibit. It's not like you fly or anything.
No. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. All the supposed to be there.
That's actually where I bought my Radian.
Oh, was I there when you bought that?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. But you guys weren't with me because Chad helped me get it loaded in the car and stuff.
That's right.
But
okay.
We found one of the older versions. I'm like, yes. I was so excited.
That's coming up here shortly, next month or so.
Mid-April.
Yeah, mid-April.
Oh, and I also bought the Estes Proto X there, too.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. We got some stuff coming up. Should be fun and exciting.
I may not want to go just to save some money.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, you don't want to go if you don't want to spend money.
So, awesome show. Right. If anybody kind of lives around that area, too. What's the date on?
Do you remember
I don't
date?
Know right
Is
off the top of my
ask?
Head. Yeah,
I don't know either.
I don't know. But it's an awesome show up
My
there.
Buddy from work was asking about again whether I was going to go. You might want to carpool with me.
Yeah.
If you guys head up, would you be willing to carpool maybe?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I believe it's called the Weak Signals is the...
Weak Signals is the name of the Toledo.
April 10th, 11th, and 12th.
There you go. 10th, 11th, and 12th of April. And it's funny because I used to skip that show and go up to the iHobby show up in Chicago, and I just thought that was the best thing coming. Everybody kept telling me, you got to go to Weak Signals. You got to, you know, I'm like, yeah, whatever.
And that's, you know, that's before turkey season, so.
Oh, my, here we go.
I'm in good shape.
All right. And I guess that's it. The only other thing is we did try to get Andre Russo back on the show again.
Oh, yeah, we got to throw money at
us. And he ditched us again. I don't know what's up. I know he's kind of...
those back wheels, Andre.
I just don't think he likes us
He's
anymore.
Been blowing up in Canada, you know. I'm looking at his Instagram and the videos he's put, his Friday updates he's putting out, you know, and I'm thinking maybe he just doesn't want anything to do with us. Yeah, I don't know. So, but we'll see. All right, Andre, I'm just kidding.
Yes, we are kidding.
He had some stuff going on, so he couldn't join us. But next podcast, I think we're going to have him on the line for the show. And
that would be nice.
Yeah.
Hey, so. Andre, you can keep this weather up there, all right?
Yes.
Take it back.
So, all right, I'm going to quit rambling on here, and we'll get out of here. So we'll see you guys in a couple weeks.
See ya.
See you guys.